Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Let's speak about love. Isn't God good? You believe that God is real, anybody? God is real. I'm telling you, God is real. And he speaks to those who listen to him and give them words. I don't have a lot of time, but what is important is for you to understand how good God is and how God loves us and loves us in a word for somebody precisely. That's what helped them out. Amen? There's a pastor who has a church now. He came hungry for God one night and the Spirit of God told me to pray for him. So I say, you have a family here? Tell me yes. It was him, his wife, and two or three children. I pray for them, and when I say, God, told me that he's moving into management, into leadership. When I told him that was impossible in his eyes, the guy is maybe 30-something years old. He was a member of a church. And to cut a long story short, very shortly after that, his pastor died. And well, guess what happened? He became the pastor of the church. When it seemed impossible. How do I know that? Because God fast forwards or download information in the people who listen to him. So listen to God, amen? And it's amazing that your pastor is going to talk about meditation maybe next week. All right, so let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. The last verse. The last verse says in 1 Corinthians 12, to covet all the gifts that you want to covet. You want to prophesy? Prophesy. You want to preach? Preach. You want to be a teacher? Be a teacher. But the word of God says at the end of the chapter, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Amen? So I want to talk to you today about the more excellent way. And the more excellent way is love. Love. So you can preach as much as you want and say a little stuff. And dance and skip and do all kind of stuff. But without love, you are nothing. Amen? 13, chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I love, and if I have prophetic powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am what? Nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. See how important love is? What's very important to understand is this, is that if you're a believer, you have the love of God already in your spirit. How I know that? Romans 5, verse 5 says that the love of God has been poured forth or dispensed into our spirits by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So every person who is born again has God's love in it. And sometimes testings help you to develop the love of God. It might be a wife who God may use mostly. If your husband who help you, your love to grow, and vice versa. And maybe on your job. It's okay to just walk in the street and whistle and be happy. And nobody's on your case. But when situations come to you, it takes the love of God for you to maintain your cool. And last week, God told me, Nelson, let the people know that love does not have an expiry date. I need a better amen than that. Love does not expire. God loved us from everlasting to everlasting. God's love is with us. And that's very good news. See, sometimes people marry and the love wanes and then it expires. And you want to wonder something. Did those people live together? I mean, they wore hands and gloves and they were fine and nice and dandy and everything. And then they're in court. And at each other's throat. So that love expired. But God's love, hallelujah, does not expire. I love that man. See, love is patient and kind. So you can actually know from what you're reading here, your station about love, your status about love. You can see, am I patient? So you could answer that. Am I kind? Love does not envy or boast. Amen? It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. This is why some relationships just deteriorate. Because it is either my way or the highway. That doesn't work. It has to be compromised. See, love compromises. I'm married for 28 years, and you have to take a little compromisation, right? To make your marriage work. God told me that long ago also that without love, marriages will not work. It takes God's love to cement that marriage, to make sure it works, or it will not work. Money doesn't make it work. Thou shalt have a lot of money. How much time has he been divorced? It's because men think if they have money, they can buy a Mercedes-Benz, a BMW, a Rogue, a Nissan, whatever it is, for your wife. Or something, but wives want love, God's love, because men are very, very selfish. Men are very selfish. How I know that? I'm a man. That's a good word. Huh? I'm actually that. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, something happens to somebody, something bad to somebody, a telephone call. Hey, you hear what happened? No. Well, so and so and so. Oh, yes, shut up. Maybe bring the conversation on. You know, that's not love. Love weeps when bad things happen to people. What are bad good people? Amen? Love is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't insist on its own way. Love bears all things. Believe all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Love never ends. That is the expiration date. As for prophecy, they will pass away. For tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But love never passes away. When one understands love, he will conclude that love is another name for the amazing God. When you say love, you say God. For God is love. God is love. And love is of God, the word of God says. The agape love is God himself living in the heart or spirit of humans. So when God comes into you, love comes into you. Amen? So you can say that I am patient and I am kind. And I say this to myself. I am never jealous. I'm not selfish. I'm not proud. I'm not rude. Because that is not love. Love has no limit. Love endures all type of hardships without weakening. That's very important. You know what I learned about 20 years ago? Is that every morning when I wake up, I have new grace. So whatever happened to me last night and yesterday, that is buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Because the word of God says in Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Great is his faithfulness. No one kept me, man. If you want to stay married, or stay in any relationship with anybody, that has to be your mantra. You need God's love every morning. Not old, stale love, but new, fresh love every morning. Matter of fact, love is strengthened and is improved under stress. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Love is strengthened under stress, man. Huh? Love don't give up. Love undergoes all situations without buckling, bending, or breaking. Hallelujah. Love, man, hungers all. It increases when it's under pressure. See, pressure is good. Pressure is very good. A lot of people run from pressure. But you know how you get big muscles? By resisting weight. So as you're pushing the muscles against you, and you push, after a month or two, or 3 months, you begin to walk in the street with a t-shirt. You know why? Because you're getting muscles. But that came from stress and pressure. Look at those guys. I'll tell you something. It is perspective that really makes things happen. Now, I've been running, jogging from 1973-74. That's my name. That's 40-something years. I run almost every day. Yesterday, I just was Betsy here. I just went crazy. The reason why guys are running marathon today, and I'm just running maybe five miles. So why did I run? So I just went crazy. But you know where I come from? By running every day for the last 40-something years. Pressure on my muscles, the stress, and so forth, make me strong, physically speaking. Amen? So if you're married and sometimes you have stress in your marriage, God is going to tell you, I need this marriage to be strengthened. And the person you think might be your biggest problem might be the biggest blessing in your life. I observe that. So then my wife tells me things and I say, well, you know, but she's really trying to help me do with the best. My wife wants to make sure my belt and my tie and my shirt go together. and my suit. But I'm in the whole school, I want to go home and feel like. And say, I want to just probably, I'm married already. But that's not her. She wants her husband to look like the king of the hill. And that all matters. So guys, you understand that. This is not you anymore. You're married. And both of you become one. And the word of God says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Even though you're unfaithful to God, guess what happened? He is still faithful to you 24/7. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! God is ever faithful. God's love is unlimited and stretches across the globe. It's immeasurable and incalculable. Psalm 103, word of God says, that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards you. Think about that, guys. You know how high the heaven is? Do you know there's a sky? There's a sky up there's an open nest. You know, sky. As far as you go, they say the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. You know how long it takes to get there? And God's love is, that is nothing to God's love. It can be measured. And that love is in you. And that love is in me. Somebody praise God for that. Hallelujah. You are precious cargo. You're very special. Tell yourself that. I am very, very special. See, you must understand how important love is. Because love creates what we call a proper self-image, healthy self-image. And most people commit suicide for lack of self-esteem. Most people. For shame. They have no esteem. You check the books. Shame causes most suicide in the world. When God has given us his love, this is why we have to be healthy people. Amen? Let me tell you something. When a hurt or an offense is lodged in our heart, it lingers in there. And when it's unresolved, it becomes cancerous and poisons the entire body. Somebody can tell you something, man, and hurt you. And you just take it in and think about it, and it becomes worse and worse. It becomes like a cancer. And many people are sick because of that. You know, I have been sick in about 40-something years. I have never had a headache in 40 years. But I don't stress about anything. When Nana was a baby, he was about a month, and I was stressing, I was a baby Christian too, and I was in a boat, going from a place named Anguilla to St. Martin. And when I'm sitting in the boat, a Friday afternoon, God told me, look up in the sky. So I looked up, and I saw a board. You from St. Martin? Right, on the friend side, the capital. So I looked up and I saw birds flying. And somebody said, who take care of those birds? So I didn't say anything. Like, birds in the air, who take care of birds? And he said, look, they're in the water. And I looked down. And I saw fish swimming. And he said, who take care of those fish? And I said, you, Lord, and God told me, I will take care of the birds and the bees and the fish. I'll take care of you. That is the last time I remember a word myself. He's now 35 years old, I think. See how long that is? Don't stress yourself.
There's an animal named monkey. Anybody ever heard of a monkey? Monkey say cool breeze. Cool breeze. Don't stress yourself. Just relax. God loves you. Hallelujah. And the love never expires, man. Hallelujah. I know I have to finish soon, but I want you to understand this, man. Cool breeze. When the wife said, get to you, say, honey, cool breeze. Cool breeze. Relax. Amen. We promise never to shout at each other unless the house is on fire. We don't shout at each other in the house. Do not shout, husband, don't shout at your wife or your children unless the house is on fire. There's no need for that. When he was about 3 years old, now, he grew up in Mrs. Martin, so he knows. But when I sat down in my couch, he brought my Bible for me for meditation. He knew when I sat that in meditation then. Every morning. That was his job. So one day I shouted at him. And guess what happened? He shouted back at me. 2 years old. So he's mimicking me. He did it right then. Monkey see, monkey do. Right? You have to show your children. Just talk to them, you know, and be quiet, and you know, you can't get frustrated because guess what happened? Your children learn at home. So when you show their children at home, guess what happened? That child will go to school anyway and show their teacher. And you can't get them wrong. Because Ephesians 5 also, 1 and 2 says, Ephesians 5, it says, I want to help that, Ephesians 5. You guys have overhead light? Okay. I want you to see this. It says, be ye imitators of God. As their children. Think about that. So, Preston, if you do this to him, guess what happened? Hear what they said to me. If I do so, he do the same thing. What he's doing? He is imitating me. We, as God's children, must imitate God. Okay. And walk in love. So this is verse 1? No, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as what? Beloved children. Verse 2. And walk how? In love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a what? Fragrant aroma. Wow. So, that is very powerful. God wants us to walk in love, man. What the world needs is what? Love. Not more money. As a matter of fact, we have an election, and sad to say, that is the worst election in history. We should be happy to at least have a female president if she wins. But rather than that, it's confusion. And the leader for the Muslim organization. What do you think? Farrakhan had last week he had a message entitled, if Satan fights against Satan, what'll happen? Isn't it in the Bible? Isn't it in Jesus, in Matthew 12, talk about that? It is divided. America is divided really in a bad way because of politics. Why? Because of what? Lack of love. Nobody is forgiving each other. If Clinton is A, Trump is B. B and C. She said D, I want to hear what you're going to do for me. I want to hear what somebody did last year, 2 years ago. Amen? So that's our problem. But what actually happened is that people have moved away from love. Let me finish up, right? Love wins every battle it faces. Ooh, man. When you walk in love, every battle you face, you win. I'm a winner. Why? You know that Christ won? Because Christ walked in love. The word of God says that Christ had compassion for people. There's one time a lady was caught committing adultery and it brought her to Jesus. And then Jesus, you know what the law says? She's supposed to be stoned to death. That's what the law says. And they said, what do you say? And Jesus bent down and wrote in the ground and got up and asked his people, any one of you who have sinned, cast the first stone. And they all left and went away, from the oldest to the youngest. And Jesus Christ said to her, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man accuses me, Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So love really does not. Let me give you a couple things. Love does not condemn. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I tell you what love does. One of them finishing in 5 minutes. Then it is. Love covers the multitudes of sin. Love doesn't broadcast a thing. Love covers. Is it love covers your back? Love doesn't spread the dirty laundry. Because what really happened to us is that Paul says in the book of Galatians, they were careful would devour each other as the body of Christ. Can you imagine that? The devil even have to fight against us. We shoot ourselves in the foot as believers by talking negativity. Be the last person to spread the bad news, say Dr. Hagen. Be the last. So love covers a multitude of sin. It goes over it and smothers it. Love also conceals what somebody might have done wrong. You don't have to tell the whole world what somebody has done. If you have love, you'll conceal it. Amen? See, if you ain't careful, you're going to have something like a Zika virus in the mouth, in the body of Christ. If you don't have love. And Zika virus, they can't find any remedy for it. The only remedy for this kind of stuff is love. Okay? So love also corrects. Love covers. Love conceals. Love also corrects. Love put things right. When Jesus met the lady who committed adultery, he told her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So he what? Corrected the situation. Love conquers everything. I don't care what the situation is. Love conquers it. Then love compliments. Compliments. We can't take compliment. In most cases. You look nice, you look dandy, your hair look fancy, you have a nice dress, you spend a whole day to buy them all. And somebody will tell you, you're not just this pretty sister so-and-so. He said, who, me? Yes, you're beautiful. All those times you spend in mall to buy a chicken, you think you look good? Hey, thank you. Man. Compliment. A compliment is a polite expression of praise or admiration. A polite expression of praise. My brother, you sing very well. What we do? We tell you you sing good. We encourage you, we compliment you so that you could sing better. Amen. And you sound good, man. Amen. I know you're going to sing about you already sound good. A sincere compliment boosts one's morale. It makes one feel good or better. Amen. Let's begin to compliment each other more than to correct. Look at you. Your hair is blue. It's supposed to be black. Your shirt is green. And your pants is blue. Who cares? Who made you a judge? Who died and made you a judge over somebody else's clothes? Hallelujah. Let me say this again. It's a remark that expresses approval or respect. A compliment shows respect, all right, for the person. So love compliments. Be careful with correction. If you have a baby, I gotta finish. If you have a baby and you keep correcting that baby for everything too much, he will lose his skill, his intelligence, and everything. A child will walk and pull on stuff. If you don't want him to pull them down, move them from there. That's his territory. Who cares who come in the house to see your fancy stuff in the chair? And the woman say, nothing. Amen. But some people are so crazy with these things in the house. A child might break a cup and it will break the child's spirit because the child breaks a cup. What is more important? The cup or the child's development? Buy another cup if your cup is broken. But what you have to do is leave things in the child's environment that you have to play with. Don't be complaining everything about everything the child does. You have to move. Come on, man. Let the child can use his sense of purpose in life by talking. Don't do this. What do you want me to do? I'm a child. Somebody has some antiques. 50 years of antiques. And you better not pass close to the antique. Because the antique is a god. No, seriously. So as we close, let's prioritize. Amen. Love confronts us as well. What's a confrontation? Confrontation is used for us to get on the same page. To find out, did you see something? Or why did you say that? And when you get information, then you can make a decision to settle the situation. That's what confrontation is. So love confronts. Amen? I wish I had more time. But I'll tell you something as I close. Before you were born, God had you in mind and made love available to you through his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can enjoy him. Hallelujah. And enjoy one another. Love is for us to what? Enjoy one another. Because if it wasn't for love, it's going to happen. We'll be fighting and crawling. I spent 30 something years in New York. I never have an argument with anybody. We didn't need to argue either. I told my son that a sergeant does not argue with a constable. You don't. The sergeant gives an order and the constable follows. If he doesn't follow, then he'll be discipline. That's it. Our place. You don't have to argue people and cuss people. You don't have to cuss the principal. Let me give you an example as I close. I was going to college at New Rochelle. And I had a book for like 2 months. months and the professor never used it. I carried it every day, she never used it. She had a spider paper, oh, class, you know. I never used the textbook. She loved to read. She got a vacation, I'm going to the Bahamas with books and read and come back by herself. So, you know, she likes to read. I like to read too, but that's not the reading. So, I gave somebody, let somebody the book to hold, as we say in New York. That's the one to look at. And then, what did happen? Soon as I got to the class, the professor wanted the book. So I went back into the classroom to get the book. And the professor said, who do you think you are to come in my class? And she said, big woman. Big person. Husband is a big person in New York, in the black. And I didn't say anything. I said, what, where is she living like that? I didn't say anything more. And I got the book and I walked out. You know what happened? Later on the day she came and she apologized to me. See, you have to go crazy when people talk to you. You know who you are. God is in me. And love is in me. And love doesn't respond like that. Amen. Love knows how to suffer a wrong. Hallelujah. And love does not keep records of wrong. That's one of our problems too. Amen. Don't keep record of wrong. The devil will beat you. As I close, you may observe that the first thing the devil does in the morning as you get up is to come something in your mind. That shouldn't even be there. I have to say, same time I rebuke in the name of Jesus, and you don't have your own thoughts. Listen why. Because the word of God says, for the weapons of our warfare in the carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, reasonings, and thoughts which exalt itself above God's knowledge, bringing to captivity every thought to obey Jesus Christ. So what do? Any thought that comes to you that is not of God, deal with it immediately, because the enemy is using that thought to defeat you. I just want to look at one scripture, Psalm 103. This is the last scripture. Psalm 103, verse, let me see, look at verse 6 and see, because I'm closing up. Okay, verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Alright? You know what I say to myself when I confess? I say, I am merciful. Say that, I am merciful. I am gracious. I am slow to anger. I abound in love. See, if God is in you, you are supposed to be the God. So you're supposed to be what? Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and full of love. And I think I want to close right there. Let me look at verse, I think what, 17. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Amen? Once in your life, man, wherever you go, God's love is in you. This is why I don't believe I'll die in a plane crash. Why is it in a plane? And I checked over 100 times in a plane. Once I'm in a plane, God is in there, and if the plane goes down, God will be in there, and God will be there. And God is not going to be in the plane. You understand? So what is this? It takes away fear out of you. Because perfect or immaculate love casts out what? All fear. People don't travel, and they miss so much beauty because they fear they would die or something. Some plane crushing them. No, man. Get out there and live. Amen? Give God some praise. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time to live your life. Christ came, come that you have life. And have that life how? Abundantly. Hallelujah.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.